Well, listen, I want to talk a little bit tonight about the armor of God. I talked about the armor of God about a year or so ago. I just feel like I need to say something a little bit fresh about that. Because when you take a look at what's going on, I think we need to make sure that we know what our armor is and truly understand it. So what does the armor of God mean to you? What is your understanding of it? And how do I apply it? Talk about the armor of God, okay, sounds good. But what does that mean? How do I apply the armor of God? And why do I really need it? Sounds good when you pray it. I see that it's in the Bible and stuff. But was that for 2,000 years ago, or is that for today? God's word is always for today. And with the various saber rattling that's going on throughout the world, whether it's Russia, China, you know, what's going on in Europe, what's going on in Mexico, our own border, the things that are going on in our own country, recession and lawlessness and attacks on the family, borders are out of control. It's just crazy. The list goes on and on and on. So it's good not to watch too much of the news. I like to watch enough of the news to know what to pray for because of what's current. And then I like to get off of the news. I used to be a news junkie. And I found the more that I got away from it, the better I started to feel. I need the Word of God and God's truth, not what man is saying. Because God said in His Word, these times would come. And guess what? I got good news for you. It's going to get worse. It says so in His Word, as we get closer to the return of our Lord and Savior. But if we're walking uprightly and walking with the Lord, whether you believe in a pre-trib, mid-trib, or post-trib removal up into heaven, or whether, you know, whatever your beliefs are, the bottom line is, if we're covered by our Lord and Savior, there's not a better place, a safer place that we can be. It's when we get out from underneath that covering that we get ourselves in trouble. So how do we as Christians deal with all of this? And how do we properly, I'm saying properly, represent Jesus Christ, maintaining our Christian values? And I use the word properly in there, and I'm emphasizing it on purpose. Because, quite frankly, when I was younger, one of the things that kept me away from church was the way so-called Christians were representing Christ. Quite frankly, I saw some people that were more honest in a bar than I did in a church. And so it kept me away from the church for a while until I matured enough to recognize and realize I need to take my eyes off the people and keep my eyes on God. Amen. People are people. I don't care if they're pastors. I don't care if there's somebody that's sitting in the pews. I don't care if it's somebody that's sitting somewhere else. People are people. The difference is, where's your heart? Where's your focus? On the things that are evil in this world or the things that are good of God? So what is our armor? Our armor is our faith. Let me start with that. So how do we apply it to our daily living? So let me start out, before we even get into the rest of that, by clearing something up here a little bit. The armor of God is not just a metaphor. It is real. One of the things that makes me want to change channels is when somebody gets on there and they start talking about the metaphors in the Word of God. The Word of God is true. The Word of God is eternal. And everything that's there is for you. It is the spiritual armor from God that He is providing for you in your spiritual battle. And it's a very real spiritual battle going on around you. I remember quite a few years ago reading a series of books by a guy named Frank Peretti. And he did a really interesting thing. And I've mentioned it on another night, I think, where what he would do is you would see the first chapter of the story. It looked like you're reading a regular book. There was something going on in this town, and there was darkness around the church and all this kind of stuff. And then in chapter two, it goes back and starts all over again, but it says the exact same portion of that story from the spiritual perspective. So you can see what the spirits are doing that are affecting the people that you just read about in the first chapter. And he does that throughout the book. And so by the time you get to the end, you see what's going on in our realm, and then you see what's going on at the spiritual realm. And it really gives you an idea because of what's really going on, because the Word of God says our battle's in the spiritual places. It's not against flesh and blood. And he had a great way of getting that word across to where you could see what was happening in the one chapter in the flesh and the confusion, the problems that were coming up, and you're trying to understand what's going on. And then you get into the spirit realm and you see what the enemy is doing. The spirit realm is real. Even the world believes that. That's how people get into witchcraft. That's how people get into the occult. That's how people go and they read their horoscopes and all this kind of crazy stuff, because they do believe in a spirit realm. The problem is when you start to talk about the Lord, then all of a sudden they don't believe that part. They just believe the part they want to believe. The reality is there is an evil portion to the spiritual realm. But what the part they don't want to admit is the reality of the spirit realm of our Lord God and the fact that he wins the battle. You can't just cherry pick what you want to believe. The truth is there's a heck of a fight going on in the spirit realm. And sometimes we wonder why it takes so long to get a prayer answered, or we see this happening or that happening. If we could only see in the spirit realm how the enemy and his minions are causing all kinds of grief and agitations and situations so that we keep going through stuff and we try to wonder why. Ephesians 6, and a lot of what I'm going to be teaching on tonight is out of Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 12, says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." And it's very real. You don't have to go very far from this building to find people that are practicing witchcraft, sacrificing animals and doing all kinds of crazy stuff right down the street. It's real. But what's going on here is even more real, because it's God bringing light into a dark world. It's bringing change and healing, taking us out of that darkness. Ephesians 6 goes on to say in verses 13 to 18, "Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand." And many of us have seen the day of evil come in our lives at different times, different levels of the day of evil. We've lost loved ones. We've seen terrible things happen. "Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Didn't say some of. All of the flaming arrows. "Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." And believe me, there's something to pray about all the time. There really is. So let's talk about some of these implements in the armor, okay? I could put up a thing on the screen that shows you a Roman guard wearing his shield and his helmet and all that. Let's talk about this a little bit. So let's talk about the belt of truth. Well, if you were looking at a Roman soldier, you would see that when the soldier wore a belt, he had intricate designs that were on it. There were elaborate buckles on it, and this identified a Roman soldier that he was a soldier and not a civilian. Civilians wore a less expensive belt, maybe a rope, some other things that they used to tie their tunic. But you could tell he was a Roman soldier by the elaborate work in the leather and the belt. It signified when anybody saw him coming, this is a Roman soldier, you better give him some room. He's coming with authority. It was part of their identity. As Christians, our belt identifies the truth of who we are. We identify with the truth of Christ, not accepting the lies of the enemy. It helps you to identify who you are in Christ. When I get up every day, I literally pray and speak about putting on the full armor of God, item by item. I don't do that just so I can do a rote prayer, and I don't do that just for some religious reason. I do it because the Word of God says that we need to do that, be prepared every day for our battle. So when I'm wearing that, I am publicly identifying with Christ. Roman soldiers also wore a breastplate, and it was worn to protect their heart and their other vital organs. It protects our heart from Satan's attack. Because believe me, the enemy wants to shoot fiery darts at your heart. And what about your feet? Stop and think about that. You don't really want to go into a battle in your bare feet. That could get a little rough right when you need them the most. So you want your feet shod with the readiness that is the gospel of peace. So you're all ready when you get into the battle. You didn't put it on after you got into battle. You got ready before the battle. Once the battle starts, things can get a little awkward in a hurry. You might not have time. Without that peace, your life is one stress and frustration after another, but it is hard for the devil to attack you when you're at peace with God. And if you stop and think about it, that's a very true statement. I've had times in my life when things were going really kind of rough, and I looked like it, and I felt like it. I was very frustrated. But as I grew in Christ, when I went through situations and circumstances, some of them just as bad, if not worse, it was amazing the difference on how I went through them. Didn't mean the tough times weren't still there, but there was a peace that in the middle of my hurt and my frustration about whatever that moment might be, there was a peace that entered in because I knew my Lord God had me covered. With that, so the peace of God will carry you through the storms of life. And believe me, I've gone through, like I said, I've gone through some storms without the Lord, and I've gone through some storms with the Lord. Neither one of them were fun, but I will guarantee you, after experiencing both, I don't want to go through another storm without the Lord. The difference is amazing. Isaiah 32:17 says that the fruit of that righteousness will be peace. So when we're walking in the righteousness of Christ, we're walking in that peace that he's provided. But what about the shield of faith? That's also part of your armor. The Romans carried a shield that was about 2 feet by 4 feet. 2 feet wide by about 4 feet high. And it protected him as he hid behind it. When they were getting ready to go into battle, he put the shield up and was able to hide behind it as the darts and the spears or whatever were coming at him, the arrows. And when a group used the shields to hide behind it, it protected the group. It created an impenetrable wall. And I didn't put anything up on the screen tonight, but one of the reasons the Romans were successful in battle against bigger and in some ways tougher enemies was because they were able to do something like that. It was like an early tank. because they would get a group of men and they would form a square or a triangle, and they would get down behind that shield, and the enemy's arrows and stuff couldn't get to them. And before they could do anything more, then the Romans could attack them. And so they could defeat a superior force. Just think about how that shield can be an impenetrable wall for you. It gives you a confidence that helps you to build your faith. And then there's the helmet of salvation. The helmet was there to protect their head because, let's face it, you start getting out there with swords and spears or battle clubs, you want somebody whacking you in the head. In the spirit realm, that helmet is protecting your mind. Because the enemy loves to whisper in your ear. And he wants to come over and give you a little rap on the noggin. So that helmet's important. It protects your mind. Philippians 4, verse 8 tells us, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." We need to avoid the stinking thinking. We really do. Do you ever notice how you can tell different people's personalities after a while, you get to know them? Some walk around looking like they got a mad on about everything, all grumpy. You wonder what they're mad about. It's because they've got this all this negative stuff inside them. And pretty soon they're wearing it on their face and even the way they walk. You know, all grumpy. Really makes you want to hang out with them, doesn't it? But the only thing that's good for is if you like to listen to good gossip, because they're probably the same kind of give you gossip too. But when we put on the mind of Christ and we're thinking about those things that are good, lovely, and pure, it changes our countenance and it changes our outlook and our perspective on how we're looking at stuff. Is there some crappy stuff going on in the world today? Yeah. But guess what? My Lord is still my Lord. And I go by Christian. That's my new name. And so therefore, I know he's got me covered. And you can't buy better insurance than that. I don't care which commercial you watch on TV, you're not going to get better insurance than that. Walking and being covered by the Lord. Some things you can do is to try to memorize a verse that'll help you through whatever is going on your way. Another thing is you can also share scripture text back and forth with a friend to encourage each other. Sometimes just, you know, getting a hold of somebody and saying, you know, I'm going through a rough time right now, and I'm struggling to read the word for myself, and the other person can get back with them and start to lift them up and encouraging them and give them scripture to support it. And the next thing you know, the situation starts to turn around. We need to encourage one another. What you are doing when this happens is releasing bad habits and you're replacing them with good habits that will encourage you. It's like when you're fighting the battle of the belt, trying to lose some weight. I wouldn't know anything about that, you understand, but I have heard the rumor what that's like. But the truth of the matter is, I'll give you another example. Let's do it this way. My dad was a drinker. He didn't sit there and get drunk, but he had a few beers in the house. He had a couple beers at the bar. He had a couple beers in the garage. Then he'd have another beer in the truck. By the end of the day, he'd put away quite a bit of beer. Finally, the doctor told him, if you would like to live, you're going to have to stop doing this. And so he did. People are used to having a habit. People have a routine. You get up, you brush your teeth, you take a shower, whatever your routine is, okay? So when you take that habit out, there's a void. Well, guess what? That void will be filled with something. It can be filled by something that you didn't intend on, or it can be filled by something that you choose. In my dad's case, he replaced it by eating sweets. Now, this is the same dad that when I was growing up, I wasn't allowed pop. I wasn't even allowed Kool-Aid because it had sugar in it. We didn't get ice cream because of all that sugar and stuff in it. He didn't want us having candy and stuff around the house. This is the same guy. So he replaces what he was drinking with the candy. It wasn't the alcohol that killed him, it was the candy. Because it affected his sugar, and he wound up getting some toes amputated, then half his foot, then some other things happened, and he stumbled, hit his head, and he wound up having to go into a home because of the sweets. They're just little innocent sweets, right? Same thing we give our kids. It led to his death, an early death. We have to be careful when we get rid of something, like when we get rid of a bad habit, we need to replace it with something good. And the best thing is to replace it with something of God. When you stop watching certain TV shows or certain movies that weren't the best thing that you could have watched, replace it with the Word of God. Whether it's something that you're reading or somebody that you trust as a pastor on TV that's sharing the Word. Don't replace it with junk. It'll kill you. Spiritually and maybe physically, it will kill you. You've got to replace it with something healthy and good. And there's nothing better than God's Word. So what are you doing? What you're doing to release bad habits and replace them with good habits will encourage you. And then there's the sword of the Spirit. It's the offensive weapon. Getting out the sword. The sword for a Christian is the Bible. And it will speak truth to you. There are characters on TV that will try to tell you that this is an allegory and this isn't true and this is this and this is that. I'm telling you that I firmly believe in the Word of God. I firmly believe that it speaks the truth. And I do believe that the Word of God says that it's there to edify. It's there to help you. When I'm trying to decide what to do about something, if I get into the Word of God and then I pray a little bit, somehow God's wisdom comes in and I can apply that and make a better decision than if I'd have just done it out of my emotions. I've seen it happen too many times. The Word will speak the truth to you. It is amazing that as you're reading certain scriptures, that they will stand out to you. I've seen the exact same scripture that I read several years ago apply in one situation, and then just last week it applied in another situation. Where else but the Word of God can you do something like that, and can the Holy Spirit show you how that applies to what's going on now, even though you used it several years ago in a totally different situation? That is not a mind game. That is the Holy Spirit speaking to you and showing you this truth will help you through this if you will be obedient. So it does require some action on your part. You can't sit back with the channel changer, the remote, and say, okay, Spirit, would you take care of that one? It doesn't work that way. We have to do something. We have to apply it. In Matthew 4, verses 1 to 11, we see Jesus using God's word to stop Satan's attack. Remember when he was in the desert? Satan kept tempting him. If you just do this, I'll give you that. Get real. What's he going to give God that God hasn't already got? But Jesus used wisdom, and he used God's word to respond to every situation. We need to be ready before the attack, not after. I'm an old Marine, and believe me, before I went to Vietnam, one of the things they did was tell you, this is what you got to do. And you went over it and over it and over it until you were finally going, would you please stop making us go over it? And they said, no, do it again. Because you have to be ready before the attack. Once the attack takes place, it's a little tough to figure out, how do I load that gun? It's a little tough to figure out, how do I use that radio to call in help? A little bit late. You have to be ready before the attack. It's the same way in the spiritual realm. We need to be in the Word, be in relationship with mature people of the Lord. We need to be in prayer so that we're ready before that first arrow comes. And there's one more item that I brought, that was brought to my attention, and it's Ephesians 6:18. And most of the time when people are talking about the armor of God, this doesn't get mentioned, but it's there in the same line with the rest of the stuff of the armament. Ephesians 6:18 says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Sometimes we think, well, everything else failed, so I guess I'll pray. Wrong. I'm one of those guys that when I was younger, when I saw something that needed to be dealt with, I wanted to deal with it right now and let's take care of it. What I had learned was sometimes when we're out there trying to jump the gun physically, we made a mistake. We need to start out with prayer because maybe the way we were going to handle it was wrong. Maybe God had a better way. Just maybe. Prayer can help us to get guidance. Prayer helps you to get wisdom. And prayer will give you direction from God. We can call on Him to rescue us. It helps if you make the call. Checked with 911 dispatch. No call came in. So how did they know that they needed to come rescue you? We need to be praying and trusting that that will lead us to the answers that we need and resolution to the problem. Prayer is a very important part of your armament. And it's very underrated because people think, well, if you're just praying, you're just looking for a lazy way out. You don't want to have to go face it and deal with it. No, that's not true at all. My problem is I used to be too willing to go face it and deal with it. When with a little bit of godly wisdom, if I had just prayed and looked in God's Word, I might have found out, you know what? Emotionally, I was ready to go do that, but here's what God wants me to do. And amazingly, it came out better. Imagine that. In order for a prayer to be answered, though, the prayer has to be asked. That's why I encourage people on Sunday mornings when we're having altar prayer down here, come on down. If you don't want to mention the specifics, don't mention the specifics. If it's for you or somebody else, let it be for you or somebody else. Ask. God's there. He's waiting for us to do our part. Prayer is a crucial part of that armament. Matthew 7, verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Ask. It begins with ask. Prayer is a way of building relationship with God. The closer we get in a relationship, whether it's an earthly one or a spiritual one, it helps us to know how much we can trust the integrity and the faithfulness of the one we're in relationship with. You meet somebody, you get to know them a little bit, you hope it's all going in the right direction, but you know what? It takes time. You have to invest yourself. You have to get to know each other. Whether it's a husband or wife, whether it's friends, whether it's us getting to know God better. The better you get to know somebody, the more you will know how much you can trust them. If you want to know how much you can trust God, why don't you get to know him? And it's through prayer that we can activate the armor of God, because that's what activates our faith. So the very thing that most people don't talk about when they're talking about the armor of God is the one thing you need most, the prayer. Because that's what activates the whole thing in the first place, gets things going. I encourage you to put on the full armor of God, and you will find out what a blessing it is. It truly is. And I'm serious when I say, every day when I get up, one of the first things I do, I pray about other things, but I always make sure I put on the armor of God, specifically naming those things. Because I want to walk under God's protection. I've done things on my own before. I know the difference. I encourage you to put on the full armor of God. And it starts with that prayer. God wants to love on you. He wants to be there for you. He wants relationship. Well, you can't have a relationship if you're lazy about it. If you're dating somebody, boy, you really invest yourself. If it's somebody that maybe you work with that you don't really want to connect with that much, you don't really invest yourself in them, do you? You kind of know who they are, maybe, but you don't really know them. Well, it's like that with God. If you act like that person that you work with that you don't really want to get to know well, so you just kind of know that he's there, but you don't really want to know much about him, that's all you're going to get. You have to invest in the relationship. There's nothing else on this earth that will match that investment. Nothing. So just, I encourage you, put on that full armor of God. You're going to need it more than ever the closer we get to Christ's return. I'm just telling you ahead of time. The wars, the rumors of wars, the weather, all the different crazy things that we're being told about, that's just the initial birth pangs. We haven't even got to the birthing canal yet. That's just the initial birth pangs. We haven't even got to the hard part yet. So put on that full armor of God. Be encouraged. And I guarantee you that as your faith gets built, because you keep giving situations to God and you see answers to prayer, that will build your faith, because you will see the truth of it. Amen? All right, well, Father God, I thank you for this opportunity just to share a little bit about your word. I pray that what I shared honored you. Lord, there's warfare going on. We can't deny it. We're only kidding ourselves. We're just walking in denial if we do that. We need to recognize, Lord, there's a war going on, and we're in the midst of it. We need you. We need the armor that you've provided for us, Lord, and we need to build our relationship with you. Help us to do that, and help us to encourage one another as we invest ourselves in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.